from here?
From here. There.
This committee will now come to order. It's, 2:31. This is the House Resource Committee. We have Representative Dyson, Williams, the Vice Chair Masick, Co-Chair Hogan, myself, Co-Chair Bill Hudson. Today, we're going to take up, essentially two, one bill and one, Senate, concurrent resolution. We're gonna take up, House Bill 238. We have the prime sponsor, Representative Veazey. Al, if you'd join us, and you could tell us, sir, the differences, since we last heard this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Work draft for committee substitute for House Bill 238, version K, makes three changes. One is found on page 2, on line 22. There was a comment made that they were uncertain about whose discretion that was. I didn't think that there was any question about it, but it was so simple to fix that we just did it. And on line 22, we just say that at the discretion of the department, a professional geologist may be brought in. In the same paragraph, we clarify that it is the party wishing to gain the tax credit that must retain the geologist, enter into a contract with the geologist, but the department retains the right to approve the selection of the geologist and to approve the contract. So it's just giving a lot of unilateral control to the department there. Then on page, I can find it again, page 3, it's in the area around line 28. We have clarified, we felt it was very clear that you couldn't take the deduction twice, but we have clarified that once the credit is applied for under one statute, it can't be applied for under another statute. And those are the three changes. I'd be glad to go through the whole bill, but that's the changes.
All right, we have heard this bill before. We have two other folks that wish to testify on this, Jules Tillotson and Milton Wilsey, and we'll have them on the line. But before we let the representative get away, are there any questions of him?
Can he go over the whole bill again?
You go get another sandwich. Mr. Tillotson, are you available to testify on this this draft committee substitute?
Mr. Chairman, I am.
Would you provide that testimony, please?
Yes, I will. And in the interest of time, I thought what I'd do is summarize, and I have it actually written out, and I'll provide it for the record later if that's acceptable.
That's acceptable.
Chairman?
Yes, one moment, please, Mr. Tillotson. Vice Chair Masick.
I'd like to know who he is. Is he with DNR or?
Mr. Tillotson, would you give us your name, rank, and serial number?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Jules Tileston, Director of the Division of Mining and Water Management for the Department of Natural Resources. I also have the department's lead for the existing expiration incentive credit bill for the new and for a new and reopened mine. And I do appreciate the opportunity to comment on 238 this afternoon, and I have read CS drafts F dated 429 or 421, as well as drafts H and K, which were dated yesterday. My comments this afternoon will focus on K, and at this point, I do want to stress our intent and willingness to work with the sponsor and the legislature and the industry to craft this new program. As indicated by Representative Veazey, the sponsor before this committee, HB 238 is radically different from the existing exploration incentive credit program created by the last legislature. And I recognize that the working drafts that have been done go a long way to begin to respond to some of the questions that we have raised in the past. There still are some questions that are not answered, and I think the fundamental concern that I have as an administrator of the existing program is that there are degrees of confusion which I think create a potential for risk of the existing program. So my comments are geared to keep the existing program and this new program going down similar but parallel tracks. To this extent, I strongly recommend that as we work through this, that the final version, whenever it comes out of the next committees, either be as an independent chapter from AS 2730, or perhaps less desirable but probably workable, a wholly independent subpart of the existing AS 2730. I can go through a section by section analysis, but in the interest of time, let me give you a few points. First of all, in section one, we've added geological mapping as an eligible cost for the new program. Very frankly, under the existing program, if an applicant came forward as a result of a new mine or a reopened mine and presented the department geological mapping, we would consider that an eligible cost on its own merit. So the first question I've got is, do we mean something different from the new program than the existing program? When I read the language of section two, which talks about additional supplemental information, it suggests there is a difference, and I very honestly don't know what that difference is. One of the major unanswered questions in the new program is how will eligible exploration costs for projects that predate enactment of the new program be treated? And page three, lines one and three, talk about credits for work done prior to the effective dates. Also, how will future exploration costs be treated for work at existing mines that are not eligible for the existing program because they now have all of their permits? For example, does 238 intend to provide a credit for work last year at the Greens Creek mines if they produce a geologic map of their work that had not previously been available to the public? Can Coeur Alaska do the same for their share of exploration work at the AJ mine as a deductible cost against future corporate taxes at the Kensington mine? Can past or future exploration costs at the Red Dog mine be deducted? All of those are mines that are in the permitting process or have just recently concluded. Can decades-old work at the Ambler District be consolidated and interpreted in a manner that could create an eligible credit for the original exploration costs as well as the cost of consolidation and professional product in today's market? And again, these are questions which I think can be answered through the crafting, but the present language leaves uncertainty, and uncertainty leads to litigation or problems in the future, which we would like to resolve. In summary, we have worked very hard to develop the existing program. We think this is a good idea on this program. There are issues of clarity, and we will be more than happy to sit down as this goes through the legislative process and work it out. One of the things that we noted, and it deals with the consulting geologist on lines 22 and 29 of page 2, it refers to the cost of that consulting geologist being at the cost of the applicant. Yet, when we go back to the definition, section 7 of eligible costs of this bill, costs for consultants are expressly excluded. Is this really intended? These are the sort of things that we just need to sit down and work out, and we will be glad to do that as it moves through the process. I would emphasize that Steve Burrell, the executive director for the Alaska Miners Association, called last week to see if Milt and I could meet soon after the legislation adjourned with the sponsor and other stakeholders. We established an initial date of May 16th, but I understand that Representative Beasy could not be available then. And again, I want to stress the department stands ready and is most willing to work with the sponsor and other stakeholders as HB 238 moves forward. I would be happy to respond to any questions, and as I said, I've got this all written out, so I'll provide the details of some of the other concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Tileson. I appreciate the interest in working with the prime sponsor. I would like to give the sponsor Representative Izu an opportunity to respond to anything that you've just heard from Mr. Tileson, if you'd care to at this time, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't take good notes. The only comment that I heard that I do not feel it is addressed is the comment about a different style of drafting and putting it into a separate statute. As you know, when we take these to our legal drafters, there is always two ways to do something, but if in terms of creating a separate statute, they did not want to go that way, and it they do tie in. And so that's a question of style. I didn't want to get in that fight with our legal drafters. All the other items that I heard, I believe we have addressed. I'm not going to say that it's perfect, but we're a long way from being completely through the legislative process also. I do think that we have addressed the problems thoroughly enough that it's ready to go on to the next step of review. One thing that did stand out, there was a question about the possible credit for work done prior to the effective date of this act. The bill is very clear that's totally at the discretion of the department. The discretion of the department has to determine that information is of such value to the state of Alaska that they want to issue a credit for it. So there again, it's everything we do in here always loops back to give maximum discretion to the department. The concern about confusion as far as mixing up the two, it has been put together carefully, and so far nobody has said anything that causes me to think that we have made an error. I certainly encourage all the review and do intend to work on this summer, but I really, unless this committee just wants to work on this more, I think it's ready to go to the next step of review.
Thank you, Representative. For the record, we were joined by Jewel, not Jewel by Join. Representative Jewel, Representative Nikolai some time ago. It's getting late in the day here, you see.
Late
in the session, that's it. All right. I'm going to, I'll take Mr. Wilsey's testimony next if you'd like to provide us. Let me just say, first of all, that the chair would believes that we've heard enough about this. I think we understand now that the department and the administration is certainly willing to work with the prime sponsor on this bill, and that while there may be some bills crafting that is necessary before we're all done, I see no reason why that couldn't literally be moved on even to the next committee, and I would suspect that it's certainly not going to get out of the next committee in all probability until till next session. That would give the sponsor opportunity to work with the administration in coming up with a substitute bill. But I think what I'm going to do next is why don't we go ahead and adopt this draft before us? We need to do that officially at any rate. So the chair would, Mr. Co-Chair.
I move that we adopt CS for House Bill number 238, version K, dated 5/5/97.
Before this committee for further testimony, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Any objections? Hearing none, then this substitute is properly before us. Mr. Wilsey, have you gotten the K draft now and had an opportunity to review it?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Milton Wilsey, Director of the Division of Geological Surveys, and yes, I do have version K before me, and I've the main part that I was reviewing was the section 273012, and I have reviewed that, and Representative Beasy's alterations to the section under their double I under capital A, I think almost my concerns in the fact that it keeps the a lot of the expense of the of implementing this away from the department, which I believe was his intent and certainly mine. I concur with that. I do have a little bit of reservation yet of whether we've completely separated that financial responsibility. It's nothing that can't be worked out. I think that we do have to recognize that in implementing this thing that there's going to be some resources necessary to get it off the ground, but after that, I think the cost of running the program can be brought back to a very nominal amount that is not a great burden on anybody, but I think it has to be recognized that there will be some sort of a cost to keep this going, and there will be some startup costs. But I think that, again, I think those things worked out in the process so that everybody has an understanding of just what's being referenced to, so that everybody's comfortable that we're not trying to build a little mini kingdom around this bill, which is certainly not my intent. I applaud the intent of this bill and intend to, whenever called upon, to work very hard to make it work. But I think that just to be explicit, in line 21 on page 2, I think that it's possible to read that statement as if the applicant would have a choice of either coming in and dumping his material on the department, and although it says at the discretion of the department in the next line, it would be somewhat more comforting if line I said something to the effect of the department at the expense of the person requesting the taking of the credit or at the discretion of the department, just to make sure that separation is clear, that the cost of getting this information in shape to join the public domain would be at the applicant's expense and not something that the department would have to shoulder. It's possible that a lawyer would look at this thing and say, well, Milt, you're out to lunch. We've already said that. And I guess I could accept that. It's just I'm a little bit uneasy about the way it's worded right now. But I can see clearly what the intent is, and I applaud it. And if we could get that out of the way, I think we've gone a long way to decrease that fiscal note by a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Wilsey. When I looked at that, I felt that it wasn't necessarily to add that in the statutes, but rather leave that to the regulatory process, which I'm sure you have those powers to do. But that is, again, something that can be fine-tuned, I think, over the interim. And
I would agree.
Thank you very much. Any questions of either Mr. Tileson or Wilsey? Of members here.
Chairman.
Yes, Ms. Vice Chair.
I just had a question with this new draft. I'd like to find out from DNR if they believe this will provide an incentive to increase the state's database on minerals, while at the same time, you know, that we don't give up more than we should to mining businesses. I'd like to hear their comment on that.
Mr. Tileson, did you hear that question?
Mr. Chairman, through the chair to the vice chair, it is the belief of the department that the concepts that the prime sponsor has set forth and testified on will indeed result in data that is not now available to the public being made available. What the long-term consequences of the trade-off of that data against the tax credit, I cannot say with certainty as to whether that would or would not be a plus or a minus, but as far as the data itself, it certainly would provide a mechanism to get data into the public sector that does not now occur. And I think any time we do that, that is to the advantage to the state as a whole.
Thank you. And Mr. Tileson, doesn't that rest entirely with the commissioner of as to whether or not it is in the state's best interest to offer, as well as the application of a potential minerals explorer? Is that the way you read it?
Mr. Chairman, this is one of the areas that we need to explore very carefully, because the present language that this bill is now incorporated provides that An application is automatically approved if the commission takes no action. And these are the sort of things that we need to work through. Taking your statement and the prime sponsor's statement that this is something that if it's not of value, it would not be accepted. And those are things that we can craft in making sure that it does not do something that's undesirable.
Thank you very much. I think that's the way I read it as well. Vice Chair Masick, another question?
Yes, I had one more question. Concern over whether there is quality control on data coming in and whether or not there are problems with conflicts over raw data and the interpretations of that data.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Madam Vice Chairman, this is Milton Wilsey with DDGS. One of the things that that we have looked at hard in this bill, and it comes under the I guess discretion of the department and working with the professional geologist, the thing that establishes data quality in our business is peer review. And what we would be doing by going out to the consulting community would be establishing sort of a private sector peer review process that the applicant would bear the cost of. But there are clearly professional consultant geologists within the state that have the training and the experience to conduct a peer review of this data for the department at the expense of the applicant, and who are knowledgeable and ethical professionals that we have no qualms about engaging in this process. And we then, of course, would have oversight on the type of report that they return to us and the format of the data that was returned to us, so it would go seamlessly into the public database and be available to the public. That's a procedural thing that I think that we can craft, and I feel comfortable that we can get to that end in an objective and professional manner. I don't see a conflict of interest issue because we have many consultants in the state who work for many clients, and there are ways of handling conflict of issue items through contract language, et cetera. And it's something that the professional community, any professional engineer or geologist or any professional engineer deals with all the time. I don't think that is a major concern in this area.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Yes, Representative Beasley.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, those comments brought to mind one thing that I didn't point out to the committee. There is another change that was brought out based on similar comments made earlier on page 3, line 20. We clarify that the time schedule set out for submission and approval of data for exploration tax credits do not apply for this type of a tax credit. So basically, we've given the department an unlimited amount of time to review the data.
Either Mr. Wilsey or Tileson, did you understand the prime sponsor's comments in that regard?
Yes, I did, and that recognizes the fact that going through a voluminous pile of geologic data can be a time-consuming thing, although there will, you know, in practice, there will be a practical limit. But I appreciate the fact that Representative Vesey recognizes that that following through that data is liable to take whoever does it a significant amount of time to evaluate.
Thank you very much. That's all of the testimony that we had signed up. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify that has not signed up yet? Certainly welcome to join us if you do, would. Representative Jewell?
Is there another committee of referral on this side of the fence, Mr. Chairman?
If, and this will be the question to the committee, we have the only fiscal note that we have is from DNR, and it has $270,000 amount on that fiscal note. We've heard from just the testimony here today that probably this will be reduced once they have an opportunity to sit down with a prime sponsor and determine, you know, some of the cost factors that are not totally clear to them. So I see us as having a fiscal note, in which case, even though we don't make those assignments, the speaker very likely would, since it picks up a fiscal note, move it over to finance. But Representative Vesey, do you understand?
I would concur with your conclusion, Mr. Chairman.
The chair would then, if we move this out of here, include the fiscal note, which I'm sure would send it to another committee during the interim, where it would be worked out at that time. And since at least the prime question that I've heard is whether or not the bill clearly stipulates how it's going to be paid for and what the cost might be to the department. Representative Tool.
You know, through this process, and I'm at the same place, where what we've heard, I haven't heard anybody come out against this. I've heard everybody come out and say that the concept is something that they agree with, but I haven't heard anybody come out for it either. And I'm just, unless...
Except Representative Vesey.
Well, I'm sure, well, prime sponsor, of course. And I know, especially coming from a place where this can have some real important impacts in terms of shallow gas and other mining kinds of activities, that I just wonder if, you know, we're kind of at a point where I guess we're being asked to move it, but I'd sure like to see the support lined up for it. And it's not, you know, even the letter that we have is one that addresses a committee substitute that was, you know, back in the last month on a different piece. And I know they're supporting the concept, and I'm just wondering, as a committee, and I've got no problem letting it go out of the committee, I guess. I just, because I support the concept as well, but it's just, I just don't feel like there's a real short up support for it at this point, although conceptually it's got a lot of support, and I don't know as a committee if we want to let it go without maybe some backlash coming on us for maybe not doing, continuing to do work. But I know the sponsor has done considerable.
Well, what I've, Representative Masick, Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to hear from the sponsor on what he would like to do during the interim as far as trying to work out some of the problems, or you presented us with a new CS, but I would like to know specifically what areas that you were looking at working on during the interim.
Through the chair, Representative Masick, I think, as Representative Jewell said, there is no opposition to the concept in this bill put forth so far. There is concern expressed because we are getting into our tax code. I think people, by and large, are supportive of the idea of expanding the library of information that's available, that's cataloged on our natural resources. I believe that we have addressed the primary concerns of the Resources Committee here. It will be going to the Finance Committee because it has picked up a fiscal note. It will get further scrutiny in terms of the area of the impact on our tax code. But quite frankly, I have spent a lot of time on both this bill and its predecessor bill. I worked with the same drafter in Ledge Legal. Would be the last one to say that this bill cannot use some tweaking, but I think it's ready to move on to the next committee referral.
Any other questions? Mr. Co-Chair, did you have a question, sir?
No, sir. No.
The chair would entertain a motion at this time. I believe that this bill has, from a policy perspective, been adequately reviewed by this committee. And I believe even the testimony from Mr. Tileson and Wilsey indicated that they see this as a valuable tool, although not a perfect one at this stage. So the question that we will have to ultimately decide on the floor of the House can probably be best addressed as to the Finance Committee's review of the tax implications, of the quid pro quo of whether or not the the credits that we're willing to offer are of sufficient value to encourage the development of our mineral resources. That's the way I look at it. So the chair would entertain a motion at this time to move this bill, if anybody would care to make it. Representative Williams, sir.
I'd like to move committee substitute for House Bill 238, version K, with out of committee with individual recommendation and company of fiscal note.
The motion has been made to move this with a fiscal note. Any objections? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Take up Senator Sherman's resolution number 10 at this time. Beth Hagovic, Hagovic. I had practice before the meeting.
Yeah.
Tell us, Beth, what's the origin of your name?
Oh, Norwegian, actually. Uh-huh. Named after a village in Norway. Actually, Hortvig. So, anyway, good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is Beth Hagovig, and I am here today representing Senator Wilken, who, last I heard, was still on the Senate floor. They're doing one of the budgets today, so it's going to be a while. Anyway, I thought I'd keep my comments very short because there are some folks who are waiting online and here also in the room to testify on this bill. So I'm just going to give some brief comments from the sponsor statement. Senate Concurrent Resolution 10 calls for the Alaska State Legislature's endorsement of continued harvest and use by Alaskans of the state's renewable fur-bearer resources, consistent with principles of sustained yield. Now, there have been some jokes amongst your committee staff of this, the fate of fuzzy little bunnies and sort of, yeah, but what trapping means to Alaskans is truly no joke. We in Alaska are blessed with many renewable resources, including abundant fur bearer populations. Not only is trapping an important management tool for helping to maintain healthy fur bearer populations, it is also a traditional activity for many Alaskans and helps promote self-reliance by providing income, food, and clothing. Trapping ties Alaska to its pioneer roots and helps to keep alive the very values that built the state. So with that, I'm open for questions, or otherwise I'd like to pass it on to other folks who are waiting to testify.
Questions of the sponsor. The chairman has.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Beth, are you Rosemary's daughter?
Yes.
Hey, how about that?
Thanks.
That's the only question.
We're known for being tough in this committee.
That's okay. So, okay, great.
I'd like to open it at this time for public testimony. We have in the audience Mr. Dick Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dick Bishop. I'm Executive Director of the Alaska Outdoor Council, and our winter quarters are across the street, 211 4th Street, number 302A in Juneau. I'd like to thank Senator Wilken for introducing this resolution. Sometimes people say that resolutions may not be all that significant. They're not bills. They don't make law. But I think this one is really appropriate for a couple of reasons. Most of which is documented in things that I handed out to you, but just to hit the highlights, last winter, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service invited comments on trapping on federal wildlife refuges and the potential effects of that, both on wildlife management and other uses of the refuge. Basically, they threw the door open to any kind of comment, and I think they got a lot of comments from people who do not value or approve of trapping. The public comment closed in January, I believe, but I think it's entirely appropriate for the state legislature here in Alaska to get their comments in on the issue of trapping, and I would certainly recommend sending the resolution to the Fish and Wildlife Service. In the material I passed out is a letter that I wrote to the Fish and Wildlife Service for the Alaska Outdoor Council that documents the reasons that we feel that trapping should be continued on wildlife refuges, and I direct your attention to that for many of the facts related to it. The The other consideration is that there, because there are people who oppose trapping and have a constant campaign to eliminate it, it is important for the legislature, we believe, to emphasize that they recognize and respect the values that Alaskans attach to trapping. There are a couple things that I passed out that indicate that the animal rights and animal protectionist sorts of people, both in and out of Alaska, have mounted a campaign to and are continuing it to try to discourage or eliminate trapping. And we disagree with that. We believe that trapping is a legitimate use and it should be continued. Finally, I'd like to point out that with regard to trapping on refuges, going back to that for a moment, roughly 86% of the entire U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service National Refuge System is in Alaska. Only about 15% of it is outside. So if, for example, the Fish and Wildlife Service or the Department of Interior decided to restrain trapping in some fashion, where do you suppose the effects would mostly fall? They would fall in Alaska, on Alaskans, and because of the location of the refuges, as you can see on the map behind you, those refuges routinely surround communities in outlying Alaska. So it's especially important to stress the importance of trapping as a traditional pursuit, as means of livelihood to Alaskans, and pass this resolution. We certainly encourage you to do so, and I'd be happy to try to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Any questions of Bishop? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bishop. Next, I'd like to go online, Randall Zarnke, if I've got that pronounced correctly, the Alaska Trappers in Fairbanks. If you would please come forward and give us your testimony and your name and affiliation.
Yes, hello, thank you. My name is Randy Zarnke. I live at 219 Slater Drive in Fairbanks, and I'm testifying today on behalf of trappers throughout the great state of Alaska, but specifically representing the several hundred members of the Alaska Trappers Association. We thank you for the opportunity to address you today in support of this resolution. The Trappers Association is pleased that you're considering this great demonstration of support for us and our activities. As Mr. Bishop mentioned, we've all heard reports of a few animal rights extremist groups that have been attacking trappers in our activities in recent years. And we're encouraged by the powerful sentiments expressed in this resolution and the powerful message which you folks have the power to convey by adopting it. Trapping is an important activity throughout the state, as a couple other people have mentioned, whether it's a young boy catching mink or marten in the southeastern part of the state, or a native elder catching an Arctic fox on the north slope. The fur from these animals can provide a ready source of needed cash or the raw materials for warm, beautiful, durable garments. Perhaps equally important, trapping helps to build and maintain a relationship between humans and the land on which they live. As it's stated in the resolution, the fur bearer populations in Alaska are natural, renewable resources. None of these species are threatened or endangered. This favorable status is due in no small measure to professional management by our state biologists. We try to work in conjunction with these folks, and we respect the work they do. For all of the reasons that I've mentioned and many others, we encourage you to support this resolution, which is before you now. And once again, thank you for the opportunity to express our views.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else that would like to testify by the teleconference network, or is there anyone else here in the committee? Any other questions of the sponsor? Hearing none, what's the will of the committee? Yes, Representative Nicolai.
Oh, thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Hagvig, who is this concurrent resolution going to be sent to? I noticed that the end, it doesn't say who it's going to be sent to.
At this point, we have not amended the resolution to say who it's going to be sent to. I think We had in mind to send it to the various newspapers in the state, and Mr. Bishop also mentioned to the Fish and Wildlife Service, but we have not come up with anything concrete on this.
And I do agree that, to the chair again, just to follow up on that, that this is a good resolution. Coming from a long line of trappers myself and having been in that arena all of my life and participated in, I really do agree with what Senator Wicken has done with this, and wish you luck in getting it out to the public.
Yes. Chairman, I have moved Senate concurrent resolution number 10 out of this committee with individual recommendations, ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so moved. Meeting adjourned at 12 minutes after 3.